Hello, this is Cookie. I'm back, baby, and you're listening to the Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me. And that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 35 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by our friends at Crown Ash Developments. As ever, I'm joined by Matt and Cookie, at some point during this episode anyway.
So we're going to start with Halifax away, obviously last Saturday in the Vanarama National League. Matt, not a bad journey up for the boys.
No, not at all. It was quite smooth, wasn't it? Obviously, we got the cab to London and then the train up and then a coach.
Yeah, cab with a kit. We weren't just it wasn't just a luxury.
No, it was like
don't worry about a train, we'll get a cab out there.
Just trying to fit all the bags in. But yeah, no, it was fantastic, a fantastic journey as it always is on Virgin trains.
Keep that down, so we're all back on kit duties, aren't we? We've got to get a new boombox.
Yes.
That wheel thing, it's massive. That's a one man job on its own.
It is huge and it's very heavy as well.
Sorry, anyway, back to the football. Obviously, we had the pleasure of Adam Mecky joining us on commentary duty. I must admit, he stole most of the limelight, to be honest. I think you and him could have just got on with it without me, if I'm honest.
He does love it, to be honest, doesn't he? But obviously, I tweet in duty, so Jeff, your presence was 100% needed there. As I
obviously, we've got a brief summary from the audio commentary as well, Matt, but... To summarise,
I think we played quite well. It was a terrible pitch, wasn't it? And you could even see the Halifax defence and goalkeeper were struggling with that, and let alone our own players who don't play on it week in, week out and are used to a much better surface. But I think for most of the game we dominated. They had a patch where they dominated, but a good performance and a well-earned point away from home.
And hopefully we're going to try and summarise that even better with the commentary from the day.
Quick corner from Halifax. It's taken short back to Kozilo and whipped into the box. But Gregory. Gregory's dropped the ball. And it's an easy goal for Staunton. Goalkeeping error there, unfortunately. He's just dropped the ball.
You won't see an easier goal this week or maybe this season. Floaty cross coming into the box, Dave Gregory, unopposed. Came from court corner, unfortunately.
Halifax goal kick over the halfway line. John Higgs wins the first header. Managed to find JJ Hooper, who brought it down well, but his pass came off Halifax man.
Came off his hand by the looks of it to me.
Referee. But the loose ball's picked up by Roger Johnson. Feeds the ball into Hooper. Coulson, fantastic ball inside to Wiradu, who despite heavy touch managed to retain possession incredibly well. Sends back out wide to Coulson. Coulson with a lovely ball in there. Over the top, George Weston. Oh, yes!
Luke Coulson with the goal, and it's thoroughly deserved for Bromley. Halifax without a sniff in this second half. They've done absolutely nothing. It's been all Bromley, and it's a deserved goal for Bromley.
I suppose what makes football such incredible, from a spectator's point of view, when you watch phases of play like this and we score our goal and you think we're ahead of it, and then we see the last 15 minutes as we've done and Halifax all of a sudden sort of on top and being able to play the ball round. What's it like out there? And I skip that because we've got this through. Aye, aye, aye.
And Raymond on the ball now, heads it out to Coulson. Coulson goes back to Wood, and Wood pumps it up the field, okay. Looking for the runner, Bagheel. Is it going to get there? It does. Omar Bagheel on the edge of the box, keeper's stranded. It's Richard Brindley with a low shot, and it's in! Richard Brindley with an absolutely sensational strike from the edge of the box. And Bromley are back on level terms.
Yeah,
Sam Johnson, not sure what he was doing there. He was well off his line.
Get in there, Matt!
A rollercoaster of a game, really, Matt. Obviously, I'm sure everybody gathered it was 2-2 at the full time. But to summarise?
Yeah, we had a good chance in the final couple of minutes, actually, didn't we? JJ Hooper with a beautiful shot on the turn, and the keeper's pulled off an absolutely world-class save, tipping it over the bar. So we were very close to winning it, but a fairly even game. I think we edged it. But
I mean, look, they took the lead. You know, I don't think we were doing anything wrong at half-time.
Oh, we
and I must say, when you got to half-time, 1-0 down, you were just thinking, don't change anything, just carry on how we're doing, because we're definitely going to get a goal. And that's exactly what happened in the second half.
Quite early on, wasn't it?
Carried on playing the way we did, got the early equaliser. But then it felt like from there, we sort of we semi-stopped.
We
sort
did.
Of doing what we were doing. It was
I think actually Adam made that point, didn't he, that we seemed to sort of just back off after we scored, which has happened before. And obviously that invited them back into the game. They got the goal to put them ahead, and they nearly got another one after that, in fairness, straight after, literally. Yeah. But luckily we managed to get ourselves back in the game, and Richard Brindley scored a really good goal, to be fair.
Brilliant, so delighted for him.
Yes, absolutely.
And I tell you what, there were a few forced substitutions of injuries, etc. But I was desperate to see Billy on the pitch. Billy, I can't get his surname wrong.
Yeah.
Crass, sorry. Yeah. I saw him warming up a couple of times. Thought I was going to have a chance here, you know. And then, obviously, we ended up making all three subs in quite a quick session of play, didn't we? Which was great. Anyway, attention obviously turned to Tuesday night after that. Point on the board, happy days, roll on to the Kent Senior Cup final. And yeah. Oh, dear.
No, should we just skip over it?
130th year of the competition. Fantastic, beautiful trophy. Don't know if you saw it pitch-shot before the game. You're absolutely gorgeous. You're thinking, oh, please, you can get hands on that. Absolutely brilliant. And I remember when we won it, whether it was 11 years ago, I think we broke the horse off the top. I can't remember. Off the pitch, fantastic crowds, delighted to be honest.
Yeah, 1600,
it's Tuesday night, just under 1600. Brilliant turnout, and I thought it was a great atmosphere as well, I must admit. Something about the Hayes Lane Tuesday night under the floodlights always seems to get everyone going, you know, and
It was. I mean, the atmosphere was fantastic, and fair play to the supporters who came out and made some noise. Obviously, we went 1-0 up, didn't we? Frankie Sutherland with a penalty. But before we get onto that, just the sheer amount of players we didn't have available that night was really difficult to contend
with. Yeah, it's a very valid point. Obviously, through injuries and both, and
cup
obviously
ties
known
as well.
Cup ties, etc.
Yeah.
So to summarise,
So Brendan Tarpong-Wiradu and Rico Hackett-Fairchild both cup tied, as well as Luke Coulson, and Rico was also injured, so he wouldn't have been playing anyway. And then obviously we lost out JJ Hooper due to an injury, and when you lose your top scorer, you know it's not going to be easy. I think that was all of them.
Get it for JJ, because obviously I know league goals count, etc., and not necessarily cup, you know, trophy counts, etc., but I'm sure he would have absolutely loved. You know, he's got that magical figure in his head of where he wants to get to.
Well, he got a hat trick in the previous round, didn't he? Sorry, in the game against Charlton, and a goal in the semi final as well. So he was on four goals in this competition in two games. So yeah, very disappointing to not have him available, but hopefully he'll recover in time for the upcoming games. But moving on to the match, it was clear to see it was going to be a difficult one. Omar getting injured early on, our only recognised centre forward, and
I saw him on crutches through the second half, and I saw the size of his ankle as well, which was absolutely massive, absolutely ballooned up. It was really strange. It looked as innocuous as you like. I literally managed to catch him from the top of the stand. And you see him kind of crutching, you're like, really? And then literally saw the balloon
not
up on his ankle.
And then obviously we didn't have any strikers on the pitch, really. George is more of a winger type player. We had played Mark Anthony up front. And that was interesting. He held the ball up well, but I don't think he's a centre forward, is he? So he worked hard, but it's just not his position. And it was clear to see the threat that night was just going to be set pieces, really. And it was very frustrating, obviously, to concede sort of 15 minutes into the second half. You could see Maidstone were up for it. Blair Targott came on as well, and played a good game.
Definitely made a difference for them.
He did, yeah. And I tell you what, 2 minutes before the end, we were disallowed a perfectly good goal. And nothing wrong with it at all.
There was some small European game the other night between, I can't remember who it is, Spurs and someone or something like that. And apparently something happened there. But I mean, you don't need VAR. What you actually, was it a foul? I'm watching the video and I can't work out what's happened, other than the fact that we've scored a goal.
Are we allowed to say? I think Neil spoke to the referee afterwards and he said he thought it was a handball, but the linesman didn't know either. So that would indicate that it's a bit of a rush decision.
Absolutely brilliant.
So very, very disappointing. That we were disallowed a perfectly legitimate goal 2 minutes before the end that should have stood. Very disappointing. And as we know, we just don't do penalty shootouts.
But again, though, your first one saved, Gregory, brilliant.
Yeah.
You're thinking, here we go
blasted
again.
Blasted it out of the ground.
Oh.
And then, obviously, slight bit of confusion. The players didn't seem to know who was up next. Richard Brindley went and scored, to be fair. And then,
that was the worst thing about that. You're thinking, well, now this is going to end.
Yeah, exactly,
Obviously, Sutherland scored a fantastic pen during the game. Always then, difficult in
Yeah. But you had that feeling just as soon as penalties comes, it's a lottery, isn't it? And unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be our lottery.
And Matt, you managed to catch up with manager Neil Smith after the game, and here's what he had to say.
Neil, a very unfortunate way to lose out tonight.
Yeah, used to it now. I think, you know, I think even the Dulwich game we had the pre-season, we lost on penalties. So it's one of those things. We practice a lot, and, you know, it was what it was. But I thought the goal that we gave away was scruffy and, you know, was preventable. And, you know, I think Roger's goal that got disallowed, you know, we've just seen it on video and we don't see any handball. So the referee, from being behind a load of players, saw something, you know, that I can't justify.
You were missing a lot of players, in fairness, tonight, and that wasn't helped by an injury to Omar Pagil in the first half, which left us with no recognised striker on the pitch.
That's right. JJ, before the game, had said he couldn't play, so, you know, we went with Omar. And after 25 minutes, I think he twisted his ankle, I think. And obviously he said he couldn't play. So then we put Mark up front, then we put Jack up front in the second half, and, you know, you're playing Brin's right wing. And Alan Dunn, who hadn't played for ages, come in. I thought Alan Dunn was outstanding today. I thought we'd done a fantastic job, but obviously just run out of legs.
And obviously an occasion to savour for players like Billy Crask, who's again making another appearance for the first team in front of a huge crowd.
Ah, it's brilliant. Billy's the future of our club in respect of, you know, trying to produce our own. So to get him on the pitch and have a run around, it was amazing. You know, I just feel sorry we couldn't get a medal for him. Win as well.
Just to clarify, a lot of questions around Zavon Hines. Has he come out of retirement? Can you clarify that one for us?
No, he's not come out of retirement. It was, you know, his injury is what it is, but I've got no players, and I just thought it'd be a fitting end for him to go out in a final.
And so close to getting an amazing goal as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think he took on about 20 players, you know, reversed it, and unfortunately the keeper made a fantastic save and then missed the penalty. But Zav, I just wanted to give Zav a good send off. He's been absolutely brilliant since he's come here, obviously with his injury, but then helping me with my coaching.
Finally, attention turns back to the visit of Solihull here on Good Friday, a side that are in really good form, doing really well, but will be up for the challenge.
Yeah, they've got something to play for. Obviously, if they win and Orient lose and stuff like that, you know, the permutations, they can go up automatic, let alone the playoffs. But they're going to come here and put a shift in. I've just got to make sure I get a fit enough squad to go out and perform how we want them to perform in front of our home supporters.
Neil, thank you.
Cheers. Thank you.
Yeah, really, really disappointing. It's felt like a long stretch towards the end of this season. Just falling short of obviously where the boys want to be in that league table, etc. And then, you know, you think you've got the saving grace of the Kent County Cup, and you know, Neil's made it very clear how bad he's wanted to win that all year. And it just wasn't to be, unfortunately.
No.
Nevertheless, the boys are back in today training. Heads back up, knowing they've got a game on Saturday against... Friday. Friday. Obviously against league... No, not league leaders. Are they league leaders?
They're up there. I think they're second or third. They're not top, though.
So, yeah, that's going to be another tough encounter.
Yeah.
Great to see a few other players get minutes on the pitch we haven't seen recently. Obviously, Jordan Higgs being one of them.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal past two games. I think he was my man of the match and Smudge's man of the match at Halifax, actually. He did really well again on Tuesday. Just some really nice flicks, he's added a little bit of flair to his play, which we didn't really see before. He's been so unlucky with injuries, and we as a team
incredibly
have been very unlucky with injuries. But he's come back and he's played two full 90 minutes in 3-4 days, and he's been absolutely fantastic in both of them, so fair play to him.
And I think Cookie is actually going to manage to join us for the podcast now, because we managed to get him to catch up with Jordan Higgs earlier today.
Joined on the podcast now by Jordan Higgs. Jordan, it's been an up and down season for you. Unfortunately, that's the encouragement from Neil Smith behind you. It's been an up and down season for you. There's been a few injuries, but coming back the second half of the season, pretty strong. You've been doing well. How's it been for you?
Yeah, it's been, like you said, it's been up and down. Obviously, started well. Obviously, started first game of the season with a goal, and then it was kind of downhill from there, really. Picked up an injury. Tried my best to play through it, then I had to take some time out, and then I come back second game, I'd done my foot, and then I was out 3 months with that. So since then it's just been trying to get back fit, and obviously started Saturday, felt I'd done well, and then yeah, kind of hopefully I can build from that, really, with 3 games to go.
Fantastic. Like you said, three games to go. It's been a tough run this season, but really, obviously, trying to get yourself established in the squad again. How difficult has that been for you?
Yeah, it's been difficult. Obviously, the two Frankies have been brilliant this season. So obviously, come back from injury, obviously trying to get a place in the team. It's been tough, but you know, I feel like if I get the chance, I can take it and then hopefully build from there.
Brilliant. And Cookie's finally joined us on the podcast. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chef. Just getting the beers in there. Cheers.
There you go.
So all go here.
Cheers. Two lemonades.
Yeah.
Obviously, you managed to catch up with Jordan. Obviously, he spoke there about his injury, his tough time he's had this year so far. But great to see him back out on the pitch.
Yeah, Jordan's a fantastic player. Someone we've rated highly for a while. Unfortunately, he's injuries sort of like hindered him, but coming back the past few weeks, I think he's been sensational for us. Shows what talents that the lad has, and well, still young and got plenty to prove.
Oh, brilliant. Obviously, we talk about injuries, Matt, and obviously it's been one of those seasons. We're always going to refer to last season because of what was achieved and where we ended up, Wembley, etc. But you know, we just didn't have it. We didn't have the injuries. We didn't have the anything, did we, on that side of things?
Yeah, it's definitely been one of those, Jeff. I think you look at last season, like you're saying, the fact how lucky we were with injuries, and this season's been quite the opposite. We've already spoken about the likes of Adam Mekki and Jordan Higgs, and Jake Goodman's unfortunately another one of those. We've lost George, you know, we've lost Jack.
Mark Anthony.
Mark Anthony, another one.
Mark gets a bit of a run in the spell, and then we end up losing him.
Obviously, Zavon, the sad story of Zavon as well with his retirement. It's been a really, really difficult one
it
for
really
us.
Is. So. We haven't. I don't even sort of plan this section of the podcast, like, well, the rest of the podcast, but, if you do put it down on paper and you look at the injuries we've had or players that we're missing, and it really is something.
It's a second side team, I think, really.
Yeah. I mean, I remember us going into the game away at Leyton Orient and we were seven key players short. We didn't have any strikers. We were playing centre-backs in midfield. Alan Dunn made his first appearance in about 6 months, starting in midfield. It's just been one of those. And you know, it just when it goes against you, it really does go against you.
Without wanting to absolutely kill everybody's mood for Phil Good Friday, it feels like everything that could have possibly happened this year that will deter from us or detract from what we're trying to achieve has sort of happened, unfortunately.
Yeah,
and off the pitch.
I think what it does do though is it gives potential, especially in the Kent Senior Cup, gives players like Billy Crask.
I referred to it earlier, Kurt. Yeah, I said Halifax. I was desperate. I thought he was going to come on. He's warming up and everything, and there was a forced substitution, etc. But it'll be great in his next few games to see if he's going to be able to get an opportunity. Obviously, going back to the injuries, obviously, Jake Goodman, you mentioned, Matt. ACL, it was everything. Wasn't it? Obviously, I know we spoke about it briefly in earlier podcasts, but you actually managed to catch up with him today and get a good update.
Jake Goodman, you're joining us on this week's podcast. How's your recovery going at the moment? What's been happening and what's going to happen in the near future?
So I've got my operation on the 10th of May. So at the moment, where we are, we are literally just building the muscles around the knee. As the surgeon said, you need it as strong as possible. The stronger it is before op means the less time at the other end after the op. But it's still obviously a long way to go yet.
And obviously you've been spending a little bit of time in the gym and obviously a lot of time here with your teammates as well, which must be helping you obviously get through what must be a tough period.
Yeah, it's a very, very tough period. It's one I've not experienced before, and I hope not to experience it again. But it's very tough. People find it tough when you've got an 8-week injury. Now I'm finding out how hard it is for a 9-month thinking. Still got a long way, but you know, it's all about keeping positive and keeping the mindset right and to do stuff to keep your mind occupied.
And your teammates must be fundamental in that, obviously supporting you and helping you get through.
Yeah, everyone's been excellent. Like when obviously we got the news that it was the ACL, everyone texted me, everyone messaged me privately. The group has been excellent. The tightness of the group is fantastic, so I'm grateful to them.
You do get to sit back and watch a little bit of football. We've just been talking about that, so obviously a lot of watching for you at the minute when the matches are on.
Yeah, a lot of watching. So it's now for me, it'll be trying to develop myself as best I can by visual learning. and try and take little pointers from the other players who are then going to be playing centre half, and seeing when I'm back to use their little points and use it into my game.
It's Jake, it's great to have you around, and obviously you're just watching at the moment the prospective academy students for next season in the trials. How's it going?
It's going really well, yeah. I'm going to be getting involved with the coaching. It's something I'm passionate about in doing the coaching and after football, and where I want to go. And yeah, it's very good standard for first year scholars.
Well, Jake, great to hear, and thanks for joining us.
Lovely, thank you.
Great to hear from Jake there. Obviously, incredibly tough time, but really does sound like he's obviously about to begin on that road to recovery.
Yeah, it's a refreshing chat with him, actually. He does admit to how hard it is, and he does open up, but he's just expressed how important the support of his teammates and the people around the club is, which is getting him through, and how he's going to be involved with the coaching, with the academy and stuff. It's absolutely fantastic, and he's a great character to have around, and we look forward to having his talents back on the pitch.
It's brilliant, and obviously that follows on from, unfortunately, Mekki's injury, but again, two players there that have gone through incredibly difficult times.
And it's good
to see that there's still a part of the club doing their bit, and them all still involved and with us
and here
forward.
Present, you know. And Adam said the same on the commentary, didn't he, on Saturday, just how him and Jake support each other through what's a difficult time, and you know, we'd be really pleased to see them back on the
absolutely
pitch,
incredible. I think sometimes you forget the sort of the human side of it, you know, of everything. You look at the games, you look at the results and everything like that, but yeah, there's actual individuals involved, and yeah, it's been incredibly tough for some of them. Obviously, moving on to tomorrow. Well, if you're listening on Thursday night, if you're listening on Friday morning, some people do. Some people have a ritual, you know. They listen to us in the morning as a preview to the game.
Yeah, it's good.
As long as we've got it up in time.
Which we are, guys.
Obviously, we're a bit early this week.
We are, because of the earlier game.
Because of Feel Good Friday. Matt, what is Feel Good Friday?
So Feel Good Friday is our match against Solihull, and then we've got a DJ in the Ravens bar straight after the game.
It's not
around.
Cookie, is it?
I can confirm it's not Cookie,
which is
going to please everybody. His music's so bad.
Oh,
anyway.
He hasn't got karaoke, is he?
Oh, we won't let Cookie on it. So obviously that's preceded by the Solihull match. We haven't got too many fond memories of playing Solihull. We've beaten them once four attempts, I think.
It's incredible what they're achieving this year. They've got a money man, haven't they?
They've had a huge investment.
I mean, I read the names on the sheet section.
Yeah, very established players, the lot of them. So obviously they're having a fantastic
Tim Flowers,
the ex-England goalkeeper, is the manager.
Brilliant, isn't it? You wouldn't want to be their goalkeeping coach.
Oh, gosh, no, you wouldn't. So they are third in the league currently. Sorry, my voice has just gone there. With 81 points. So they're actually 3 points off Leighton Orient, who are top. And they've got to play each other in a couple of weeks at Solihull as well. So this game is big for them. They've won 24 matches, drawn 9 and lost 10, and their goal difference is plus 28. And a lot of that goal difference will have come from our heavy defeat to them away earlier this season, which ended 5-0.
I must admit, everyone went there, oh, it's Solihull, it's the old Solihull. And we obviously got turned over by a result when Rod suggested that. But they still went on. That wasn't a fluke.
They went on
and they turned over numerous other
not
sides.
Not at all. And I remember that day. Unfortunately, yourself and Cookie weren't available, so I was on solo.
Unfortunately,
comms.
I think when I saw the result, I was a bit delighted, wasn't
it? I was on solo comms and tweeting duty, and I remember saying, half hour in, 4-0 down. Just go? There was a lot of sympathy for me, to be fair, but it was not a good day, and I felt for the supporters who made the journey. And Neil obviously got the players in the following day, and had said things that needed to be said, and we went 2 days later and beat Ebbsfleet away, which was fantastic response.
Absolutely brilliant.
We'll be hoping for a reverse of that, if anything, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Although, unlikely as it may seem, you never know with Bromley, do you? So it just depends, obviously, injury-wise, how we are, what team turns up. Fingers crossed.
I'd be fascinated to know people's thoughts on who they'd rather, Orient or Solihull. I know Salford are in there, I know, and everybody else, but yeah, that's definitely going to be an interesting one.
Speaking of the game, just on a slightly unrelated note, it's your last chance to vote for your player of the season in the club shop. So obviously we do have supporters player of the season.
I'll vote for mine.
Yes, I voted for mine as well. But tomorrow is the last game you can do it, so make sure you go in and see
Ronan. Ronan's sitting over there. Has Ronan voted?
Have you voted yet? Yeah. You voted? Yeah.
He does. Where's Cookie?
Cookie's had to go and do something. Probably running, training or something.
Oh, he's doing a marathon, isn't he?
He is in a couple of weeks.
Obviously, Friday starts earlier. We're open at Ravens Bar. Ravens Bar is open from midday. Yeah. I think it's, is it a championship? I think it's Sheffield United v Forest.
Nottingham Forest, I think, yeah.
Is that a top of the table clash? Or
Sheffield United are up there, yeah.
Okay. So we're open from 12 o'clock for that. Obviously, kick off 3 o'clock, Bromley FC Solihull. Tickets are on sale over on the official website, www.bromleyfc.co.uk. Remember, they're cheaper when you buy them in advance. At 5 o'clock, straight after the game, we've obviously got a DJ in the Ravens Bar. As we've expressed, please do understand it is not Cookie, so we're hoping for
the
a good night.
It should be really good. Yeah.
And he's banned from the karaoke, so that should be okay. That's going to happen in Ravens Bar straight afterwards, 5 o'clock.
Stick around.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be great to see a few of the staff sticking around and obviously making a night a bit of sort of behind the scenes stuff. And yeah, it'd be great to have a drink and catch up with everyone.
Speaking of sticking around as well, obviously, another date for the diary are on pitch end of season presentation after the Ebbsfleet game, which is obviously going to be taking place. It's a 12:30 kickoff, so yeah, round about a normal kickoff time, really. After that match, so yeah, we hope to see you there as well.
Yeah, incredible. Where's the season gone?
Oh, it's flown by.
What are we doing? Do we finish a podcast next week? How's it work?
That's what I was thinking. Do we carry on? Is that our question
next
for the week?
Our next week. Yeah, that should be our question
of the
week.
Question of the week.
Cookie's back.
Question of the week.
Cookie's back.
In and out, busy
cool.
man.
That was a quick run.
Yeah.
I love this. Whenever I hear that you weren't on the last podcast, someone comes up to me and goes, "How's the run?"
That is good. So that is brilliant. Our question, Cookie.
We decided our question of the week. So two things. A, we've got to do next week's podcast because Thursday before Ebbsfleet.
Yeah.
But do we do one the Thursday after Ebbsfleet as an end of season special? Okay. Because I was sort of the real. You know what? We'll do it Thursday. We'll play Ebbsfleet. That's it. Because everyone thinks you're going on a day for 8 weeks anyway. So what's the problem? You know, it'd be okay. So is that our question of the week?
That is our question of the week.
What episode are we on now? This is 35.
Yeah.
So we're definitely recording 36 next week.
Yeah.
But the question is, are we recording episode 37?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's great, isn't it?
And also. Do you want me in it? If it does happen.
Well, debatable.
Brilliant. Matt, I think that's it.
Community update quickly.
Oh, apologies.
Yeah,
sorry, it's Matt's time.
Can you just move back a bit, please? Step back, please. There we go. So it's been our soccer camp the past couple of weeks for Easter, and it's been fantastic. The numbers have been brilliant. All the first team squad and management have been
player
fantastic.
Player engagement's been great. It's great to see. It's really difficult. When you put photos and stuff on social media and you share with this player attending, that player, a lot of it is, it's PR. You know, it's PR. We'll put a photo up, the player. Were there, that was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah,
but actually, the play when they're training, I know it's funny, the players are training there, the kids are training on supposed to be playing on the other side. The kids want to stop and they want to see what's happening and see their player. And I saw a photo this morning, there was this is what I'm talking about. There's a kid who turned up, obviously a Bromley fan, got his Bromley shirt, everything like that. By the way, when I first came here 10, 11 years ago, we did soccer camps, kids didn't turn up in a Bromley shirt as a Bromley fan. It's just a little thing. Sometimes you stop as a benchmark and go, mate, that's quality.
Oh, it is. And obviously
brilliant.
We got it signed for him, didn't we? And Neil and Mark went up to present it to him.
That's
which
what
was
I mean.
Phenomenal.
I love
so,
it.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And we've got a tweet from his mum, I believe, actually, just thanking us, which is lovely. So
it's just incredible. It is. Absolutely brilliant. Obviously, that's 2 weeks. We've had record numbers. Yeah. We've been doing it for the 2 full weeks, haven't we?
We have, except for obviously tomorrow because of the game and Good Friday and that.
But again, they've all got free tickets to our game on Friday, Solihull, which is brilliant.
Absolutely.
Hopefully we get convert some more youngsters, fall in love with their local club. And obviously, we're here every half term, but we obviously Saturday morning starts up the following week.
Yeah, so Saturday morning's back on the 27th when we play Ebbsfleet, as we've broken up for the half term, and obviously soccer camp takes its place. So Saturday mornings we'll be back, and we'll be back for half terms in May, so not long really to
absolutely
wait.
Absolutely fantastic. And a big thanks to Bristol Street Motors, obviously, for their continued support of the Saturday morning soccer school.
Very much.
The equipment, the coaches' kit, absolutely, you know, definitely much needed.
Doing some other work.
Oh, that's what you
and
work.
Failing,
work.
Yeah.
That's what he calls it. brilliant. Anything else, Matt?
No, I think that's it, pretty much. But a big shout out to Jack Holland and Luke Coulson, who stayed behind like an hour and a half after training today to hand out the awards.
Did you lie to him? Did you tell him that the presentation was at one? And then it was
I didn't. No, I don't know where that rumour's come from.
Yeah, Coulson.
What
Coulson
I did do was write some interesting names on certificates, and like Trees Are Green and anchovy.
They get found out.
They did get read
Is he
out
back yet.
Is he back yet? Was on there yet? The parents, one of the young coaches, this is his initiation, I'm afraid.
Brilliant.
Read them out, and the parents and the coaches, Luke Coulson was in stitches on the
Fantastic.
Stage.
Fantastic, so, absolutely. Yeah,
brilliant.
Have we done textbook, brilliantly professional as ever from us. Cookies over it.
Always got to have a laugh. Hello again.
hello again.
It's my second appearance. Have we done score predictions for tomorrow?
Oh, no, we didn't. No, see, look, see, he does have a value. I'll
come in.
Oh, what about an attendance prediction?
Had a couple of
bits.
How many you reckon?
How many you reckon? No, stuff that. Just do the result.
All right. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw tomorrow. I think we can hold out.
Mate, I'm going 4-0. Going to absolutely smash him.
I'm going 1-1 as well. I hate to be boring, but I can see us getting a draw tomorrow.
Oh, that's no, it's end of season. Anything could happen. This is the one. This is
fingers crossed.
Going to be revenge.
Fingers crossed, Jeff's right.
Going to be amazing.
We're
going to rock up in a bar afterwards. We're going to have to send the players home. They've got the game Monday. No, you can't celebrate this game. Go. You've got to play Monday. All the staff, everyone else will all stay behind, celebrate a 4-0 win, feel good Friday, a few 80s hits.
Yeah.
He must be doing requests. I've got a whole playlist all lined up ready.
Come on,
Ali. Right.
All right, then.
Big thank you to everybody who's listened and downloaded this episode of the podcast and for somehow putting up with us for about 35 episodes of the season. A big thank you to Matt.
Thank you.
Cookie.
Thank you.
Ronan's behind us somewhere. As ever, a massive thank you to Crown Ash Developments, who continue to sponsor us and make this podcast possible. Hopefully we'll see as many of you as possible tomorrow. Hopefully it is Feel Good Friday come 5 o'clock, and we'll all see you all then.
That's all this stuff you're giving us. There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.